So as you guys know, we're going to go through some of the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards, and we're going to go and look through the ones that are from suffering and character. So I just, do you guys understand that there is a level of where suffering is needed to show love? Nothing is free. We understand that. And also the kind of character. A lot of the times, you know, the book is saying, when we come with the right attitude, like a loving attitude, I'm going to walk into this room, but with the idea that I need to love my neighbor, and I'm already programmed that I'm going to love someone. So understanding that that's the character that believers need to have, and understanding that suffering is needed, I'm going to ask you, how did Christ suffer to show his love? This is just random. Huh? Anyone has any thoughts? How did Christ suffer to show his love?
Leaving the community of the triune God.
Leaving the community of the triune God, yes. He became creation, right? He humiliated himself to be the creator, to be creation. He got spit on the face while he was on his trials.
He was the author of authority. He was submitted to authority by his parents.
Yes. Yeah. He was, you know, being God, he still have to go and do homework and listen to his parents and, you know, have the diaper changed by, you know, Joseph and Mary, like all these things. What else?
He who knew no sin became sin
for all of us, right? The imputation of our sins in him so we can get all that holiness and be holy in front of the eyes of God. Anybody else? Oof, yeah, he was abandoned, right? And then, you know, who are we to complain? Like, they used to be my friends. Ah, God incarnated, got abandoned by all the disciples, yes. One more. Yes, on the cross, all the wrath came down to him, right? So all the suffering that he went through in the cross just to show his love. So we have that idea that, you know, love is something just beautiful. There is a nice feeling that we have in our heart. But at the end of the day, it's a bunch of actions. It includes character. It includes suffering. My brother Ron is going to help me with the suffering part. And we're going to start on 9.
Resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Resolved, when I feel pain, to think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. Resolved, after afflictions, to inquire what I am the better for them, what good I have got by them, and what I might have got by them. Resolved, when I fear misfortunes and adversities, to examine whether I have done my duty and resolved to do it, and let it be done just as Providence orders it. I will, as far as I can, be concerned about nothing but my duty and my sin.
Amen. As we did last week and we're going to do the following weeks, can somebody help me pray for each one of these at the end of every slide? Can somebody just help me play on the suffering part? Just one hand, anybody? Thank you, brother. Character.
Resolved to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if nobody had been so vile as I, and as if I had committed the same sins or had the same infirmities or failings as others, and that I will let the knowledge of their failings promote nothing but shame in myself and prove only on occasion of my confessing my own sins and misery to God. Resolved, if I take delight in the gratification of pride or vanity or in any such account, immediately to throw it by. Resolved, never to do anything which I shall see in another. I shall count a just occasion to despise him for, or to think any way the more meaningly of him.
Amen. Can somebody help me with those? And pray. Thank you.
Lord, I pray that as we look on the sin of ourselves and the sin of others, that we never think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and in every kind that we see the sin of someone else, that we're reminded of our own sin, and rather than look and look at their sin and point that out, or keep ourselves higher in our heart because of it, that we would instead be humbled and be reminded of this, the great sin that you have already you have forgiven us of, and that we would continue to repent of the sin that is then in our heart. We love the Lord and we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Resolved to be strictly and firmly faithful to my trust, that in Proverbs 26, a faithful man who can find may not be partially fulfilled in me. Resolved to endeavor to my utmost to deny whatever is not most agreeable to a good and universally sweet and benevolent, quiet, peaceable, contented, easy, compassionate, generous, humble, meek, modest, submissive, obliging, diligent, and industrious, charitable, even patient, moderate, forgiving, sincere temper, and to do at all times what such a temper would lead me to, examine strictly every week whether I have done so, Sabbath morning.
Can somebody help me praying for those? Jeffson, can you help me to pray for this one, brother? Yeah, thank you.
Sure. Lord, please help us with our resolve and standing firm in character. Father, convict us through your word and through your commands and your calling us to action. Keep us sober-minded throughout our week that we may examine ourselves according to your word, according to your character, and according to what you call us to be in Christ. Lord, we love your law. Your law is in your word is a light, a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Lord, please help us in showing us grace when we fail and strive to uphold the character of a godly man and woman. We love you, Lord, and we pray for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 54.
Whenever I hear anything spoken in conversation of any person, if I think it would be praiseworthy in me, resolve to endeavor to imitate it. On the supposition that there never was to be but one individual in the world at any one time who was properly a complete Christian, in all respects of a right stamp, having Christianity always shining in its true luster and appearing excellent and lovely from whatever part and under whatever character viewed, resolved to act just as I would do if I strove with all my might to be that one who should live in my time. Resolved never willfully to admit anything, except the omission be for the glory of God, and frequently to examine my omissions.
39.
Resolved never to do anything that I so much question the lawlessness of, or lawfulness of, pardon me, as that I intend at the same time to consider and examine afterwards whether it be lawful or no, except I as much question the lawfulness of the omission. Resolved to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking.
Amen. Can somebody, just one last person, can help me pray for this one? Tom, can you? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You know, some of us are like, don't pray for me about that last one. You know, it's tricked with what I drink. It's like, not me. And, you know, thank you, you know, for the ones that pray. You guys, you know, if Pastor Jack keeps showing over here, I'm going to pick him, and he's going to go for 5 minutes, all right, and going to get rid of my time. So please anticipate that I'm going to be needing you guys to pray on the next week. So do we see the necessity of suffering and of good character to love? Now, there was a president in Mexico that he finished all his school when he was like 17 years old, and then he became like the youngest president at the age, like before 40 years old. And a lot of the times, the parents are like, you know, at your age, Presidente Benito Juarez was already done with school. And then the kid will turn like, yeah, at your age, he was already a president. You know, like, what are you saying? And I bring this up because this guy right here, Jonathan Edwards, all these resolutions, he did it between the age of 17 and 19. I mean, I look at this, I'm like, how? When I was 19 years old, I mean, you know, what, PlayStation or playing soccer? What, you know, like, my thoughts weren't as deep as this, you know. And even now, like, I reflect on what he's writing, like, consistently. I'm going to go and see the things that I need to repent of. And that creates, you know, some good character. A lot of the times, like, we're not able to love others because we lack of the integrity, understanding what the love of God is in our life, and we cannot give it out just because we don't have it. We haven't worked it out. And also, through suffering, right, life gets too easy, and we just don't consider loving others. We're so consumed about loving self. You know, the absence of suffering doesn't give you that touch to reality, that the necessity to love others. But, you know, when we're in suffering, when we are not necessarily have everything that we need, we can go with the guy that has everything, which is God. He has everything that we need. Now, on the, you guys follow me on your sheet, love, wind, sailboats, and sound doctrine. People today often think love is like wind. It blows wherever it wills. And the idea is that the love is just an emotion. Like, I feel like liking you. If that person has something, I just don't like that person. We just go with feelings. And, you know, the love that we have, if we just let it go through the emotions, you know, love in the Bible is different. It can be commanded. Now, we don't like that part. How can love be commanded? You know, what freedom do I have in here? Don't we do this all the time? Don't you tell your brother that you're sorry and that you love him? You've done that? Tell your brother that you really mean it. And the kids look at you like, say it better. We're commanding them to love their siblings. Why do we do that? Because it is the right thing to do. So yes, it is a command. Why do we tell these kids, you know, to do something that God is telling us to do and now we're not willing to do? And they have to do it quick. They have to do it when we say it. And they have to say it with a smile. And say it like you mean it. But then us, we're driving. Somebody cuts us off. You know, they wear a cowboy hat. And we're like, oh, yes. There is a way that we can look at this as far as our commands. Can somebody help me? Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6. Amen. You must love God. He is creator. He doesn't need our love. He doesn't have a hero complex where because he saved us now, because who he is, because who God is, it is actually good for us that we love him. Just be able to love him is a demonstration that he already loves us, and that should bring even more joy and more love. We're commanded to love him. Love our neighbor, Leviticus 19:18.
Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
No vengeance, no anger. How about that? So you mean I cannot even get mad? I mean, it was his fault. Yes, it was. Yes, he sinned against you, but mainly he sinned against God. The vengeance is his. No anger. We should love our neighbor. Love our fellow Christians. 1 Peter 4:8.
Above all, keep perfect in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins.
Keep fervent in love. So all these are commands, right? So when you're driving and you see the stop sign, it doesn't have many other words. It's just a command. It's in the imperative. Stop. And what we do, we, like Pastor Jack says, we do jersey stop, just like almost there, but not all the way. But still, we somehow stop. Now, this is like that. Keep fervent in love. It is a command. Like, somehow create all those good feelings and understanding and keep in love, because this covers a multitude of sins. Love our enemies. Romans 12, 19, 21. Overcome evil with good. That's a command. Yes, there is, when we get anger, when we get angry and we want to do something to other person, the Bible tells us, overcome that evil with good. You're about to say something, convert that into something nice to say. It is hard. I'm not saying that I do it all the time, but this is still a command, even if I don't do it all the time, even if we don't do it all the time. And then love can grow cold. Matthew 24:12.
Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow.
Because lawlessness is multiplied, because it increases. So when we stay out of God's will, when we're not doing his thing, it is warning us that this love is just going to decrease. And the less that we feel it, the less that we want to do the good. Even though, you know, we may be praying and reading and doing all these beautiful things, coming to Sunday schools and Wednesday and prayer and Sunday. And imagine if we don't do any of those, if we just grow cold, if we just go and multiply that sinful lawlessness, be out of the obedience of God. We love God because he loves us first, and he loves us in Christ. We are in Christ because we understand the gospel. What is the gospel? God, beautiful, perfect, it's separated from us. He separated from us because we are sinful. And that relationship cannot be accomplished. He is holy, and at that point, we are not. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, when we believe in our heart and confesses with our mouth, that relationship is reestablished. Now, after we have this understanding, we have the gospel in our heart. Mercy, love, grace. If we really understand, if we really were impacted by the gospel, we are ought to share it. We would love for other people to experience that kind of love that only can be experienced through the gospel, through the love of Jesus, through the love of God. Love is not like the wind, like we say before, just a simple emotion. Love is like a sailboat driven along by the wind of God's love. So love is not like the wind. It's more like this sailboat and the wind. The wind is the word of God. We're in the world. We're like in the water, and we're that sailboat. The wind that pushes us, it should only come from here. Wherever we go, whatever love has a definition, the definition comes from here. And we understand now that we may, you know, we even need to love our enemies, that we need to not seek for vengeance or be in anger, to show forgiveness, to preach the gospel. Sound doctrine is for love. Doctrine and love are not enemies. We all heard these words. Don't divide our relationship with theology. You believe what you believe, and I believe whatever I want to believe. Now, doctrine and love are not enemies. Actually, the fact that we're telling other people the truth, that is us loving those people. Love in truth, the truth abides in us and will be with us forever, and Christians are united in love that loves from the truth. So when we understand that love is in truth, to tell them the truth, it's an act of love. There is a lot of conversations, a lot of discussions when we get with family at holidays, right? I don't know how your family looks like, but I have Catholics, Charismatics, and then us who are right, so we just got to show up and correct order theology every single holiday. But, there is some interesting interactions. There is we are called to be, meek, and we need to understand the point of view. But at the end of the day, if we really love them, we're going to get creative in how we tell them the truth. You know what you believe in is not there 100%. What does it mean to follow Jesus for you? What do you really care about the sound doctrine in your church? Do you have this set of beliefs? So, us telling them what they should be believing in some ways is an act of love. Because at the end of the day, we don't do it because we are right, even though that we're right. But what we do, they can worship God better. They can have better lives. They're going to really know the true God of the Bible. To love, the love that we have to tell the truth, it keeps us united in here. What unites us? The truth. I mean, I wish it was some tacos and a Coke, but what unites us is, it is the truth. Because we have different backgrounds, we have different ages, but we are here because we love God. We love the truth that comes from this beautiful book, the Inspiration of the Word of God, and this love unites us. We do not make up this love. It comes from God. I love many of you, and I love you because you love God. There is some of you that, it just took a couple conversations. I'm like, this guy is my brother. I know I'm going to see you in heaven. That other guy, I don't know if I'm going to see him, but you, I'm 100% sure that I'm going to see you. But that love that I just feel for you is because the Word of God. And this is a beautiful place. Grace is a beautiful place to be. And yes, grace needs to be with capital letters in the front of a building, because that's all we have to offer. Sound doctrine is for love, all kinds of love. The doctrine of God leads us to love God. Do we really know God? How can we know God? Didn't it happen to you, the more you start hanging out with your now wife, when it was your girlfriend, oh my God, I didn't know she was that beautiful, that great, that funny. And the more you know her, the more you love her. And the more you love her, now you want to spend more time with her and you don't want to let her go. I mean, hope you guys experience that. I mean, that is, the more we know God, right? This, the sound doctrine, the right view of who God is, the perfect unity, the Christ that redeemed us. Reading all this is just going to make us fall in love even more. I hope all of us have some kind of like devotional time where we can pray and we can read and we just want, God, I want to know you, work in my life, please. The doctrine of men guide us to love our neighbors. We have God in common. We all are made on his image. Me understanding when I read the Bible and I see that you have the same image as me, that you are as much as a sinner as me, and you and I deserve grace, we don't deserve grace. We get grace even though when we didn't deserve it. That unites me with you, that I should be acting with more respect towards you, with more kindness, and especially here, at our church. The doctrine of providence teaches to love our enemies. Jesus loved his enemies. we should do the same. He was perfect. I mean, why do we have enemies? Are we complaining because we are in a fallen world with fallen people and we are still not sanctified all the way? He was perfect. He was God. He was walking over here and he just loved them. I mean, we have the perfect example of someone who really is using his brain, his emotions, his intellect at 100%, and he's choosing to love the enemies. Who are we to say no to that? The doctrine of God, God's love, trains all of God's people to love our fellow believers. He sent his son to save sinners. So, in eternity past, in a perfect counsel of the triune God, he decided, he saw us, he foreknew, he knew how we were, how sinful we can be, what we can say, what we can see in the cell phone on a Saturday night and then show up Sunday. Yes, Lord. He knows. He knows. And he decided to die for those sinners, for those who spit on his face, for those that don't respect his image, for those that do not obey. He decided to end. So now we see, we understand the gospel, and we're getting closer and closer to this beautiful relationship that we get through doctrine. So doctrine and love in our lives in the church. If you love, for God is growing cold, you can turn up the heat by taking a big dose of sound doctrine. Is it you this morning that is just like, I'm not feeling it? Marco, I know what you're saying, but I don't feel what you're teaching. I understand that love comes from God. And I understand that I need a huge dose of sound doctrine. I'm still growing cold. My heart is still away. There is a lot of things that I'm doing just because I know if I don't do them, I'll go to hell. And actually, my relation to God at this point is because of the fear of hell, not because of the love towards God. That is not a relationship that we want to be in with God. He is beautiful. So what are these like big doses of sound doctrine? Let's start praying, which is the hardest thing to do. And so when you're in your worst, you sometimes do your best prayers because you really mean it and you want it and you want to go closer. But when you don't see those prayers working, it's like, why do I pray? So if you're in this situation, please, you know, last week I put the emails of our pastors, contact them. Contact any other brother that you see fit, you know, that you want to be discipled by, and pray. Sometimes just get together and pray. Obviously, deep into the Word of God, read, fast, be disciple. Pick, you know, one book of the Bible a week, or you know, depending how big it is. But pick one book, go deep, go study it, meditate on it, read it, and apply it. So in application, let's go back. On the character mode, when you understand that this is truth, therefore I need to do it. This is truth, and I understand that this is good for me. After we go through that character mode, we have not only the understanding, but the will starts to change. And even if it doesn't, you know, let it be your will, not mine. Just the understanding that it is truth. Now, fasting and being disciple, I don't know, discipline your body. What things that you need in your life? How much time in front of the screen? How much games can you have in your cell phone? How many times a day you're going to be in social media? Like all these kind of things, you know, just be with God in a perfect relationship. Are you struggling to love another person? Can somebody please help me with Romans 5, 7 to 9?
For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him.
Amen. So we should love everybody. Yes, including your mother-in-law. Yes, you should love everybody. You should love especially your wife, your husband, your kids. Those are just a given. You should love them. But then there is other people, right? A church, work, that they also need to be loved. Christ died for us. And we didn't even ask for this. We were death. We were pleasing our flesh. And he was doing a good work for us, the best work. Do you love other Christians only because of what you can get from them, or both you and they are loved by God? Do you understand that what connects us is the gospel of Jesus? Are we loving the other people for who they are in Christ? Do I understand that the best that I can give the other person is not my money, is not quality time, but it is the likeness of Christ in me that I can give to others. And the thing that I should be getting, it is that likeness to Jesus. And all of us can be growing together in the church. If there are people in our church who are hard to love, well, so are we. We're also hard to love. And if you hear something about me, don't believe them. I'm worse than that. We somehow, you know, we always have our base face, our, you know, it's just, there is stuff that is happening in our life, and we all know, and we struggle. But it's easier to put that smiley face than to come to someone. You know, how are you feeling? I'm good. You know, I'm blessed. And Victoria, you know, in victory, you know, say, God is good all the time. God is good. But I mean, there's been seasons where, you know, there's stuff that is going on. And we need to understand that other people are also going through things. And we're so quick, like, oh, yeah, we go to the same class. We go to, you know, we sit on the same preaching and Sunday class and Wednesday night. They should be acting this way. Like, we give them, you know, we tell them how they should be acting and the expectations. And God is just working with them. But, you know, we're like above God, like telling, you know, yeah, that needs to happen ASAP. It needs to happen now. We are not easy to be loved, easy to be like. And then finally, like a cell that catches the wind. God's love is steady. Not even our sins can separate us from his love. Can we meditate about our sins and the work that Jesus did on the cross? Not even our sins. So we have this beautiful relationship with Christ right now. The Father commanded how everything was going to be. And Jesus came and accomplished it. And he took our sins to the cross. And then he promised the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is living in us, is living among us right now with us at the church. And with that understanding, do we understand that everything that happened and how we need to be living our lives? The greatness of his love is shown precisely, and that he loves us despite our sin. Let's imitate him. Can we love others despite their sin? Or do they have to be perfect for us to love them? There is two chapters at the beginning of this book and two chapters at the end. Those are the only four chapters that do not speak about sin. Everything in between that, we're fighting sin. We haven't, second coming hasn't happened. We're still fighting sin. We are in a fallen world. And the miracle, it is actually that something good's happened to us. You know, why something bad has to happen to us? We have very little tolerance to suffering. Not so many years ago, 40s, 50s, 60s, before vaccines, let's not talk about COVID, but before vaccines, people, you know, life expectancy was 65. That's how we get that Social Security at 65. Like, you know, let's make money with these people. They usually die at 65. We tell them that we're going to give their money. Now people are living longer, right? Before, you know, because there was no way to control birth, people used to have 10 kids, 12 kids, 6, 8, and some of them will die. So a kid dying was normal. Now, oh, it's a kid, he was innocent, God is not real. That was normal. We have such a little tolerance to suffering that the moment something happened to us, someone passes away, something happens to a kid, God is not real. We are here. If there is some promises, is that we'll be persecuted, that suffering is going to happen here. So suffering shouldn't be something strange to the Christian. It should be something anticipated, but also the character. How are we going to face all these challenges? What kind of love do we have? And that is the question. What kind of love do we have in our hearts? Do we understand, do we have the love of Christ in our heart? Do we understand who is loving us, who died for us in the cross? This is just not like another prophet. Jesus is just not someone that was good that I want to follow and I just want to open this book so I can imitate him and the good works. I'm not following this so I can be blessed and make more money. This has some eternal consequences. And the way that we live in here, we ought to live like we're already living in eternity. If you don't like how we should be living in heaven, you're not going to enjoy heaven. So you mean we have to worship God all the time? Yes, that's what we're going to do all the time. That's what I want to do. Heaven is beautiful because God is there. If God wasn't there, it'll just be hell. It'll be just another place. So, you know, all of us want to go to heaven. All of us want to be in eternity with him. And just the fact that we want to be there, it shows that we want to have a close relationship with him and we want to worship because he deserves him and because he is God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Let us understand the love that you have for us. Let us not only have this understanding in our mind, but we want to grow. And we want to grow in love. We don't want to grow cold. Please take away any distraction that is happening in our life. Please give me more convictions of the things that I should not be doing so I can concentrate in a better relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to experience this love. I want to walk in a way that is worth of saying that I am a Christian and that I have the love in Christ of me. I don't want people to say, like, who is this guy? What kind of love does he has? I don't want to do it for me, but I want to do it because I need to show other people that I'm faithful. And more than that, I just want to be obedient to you. I ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.